Take your Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Love the phrase in that song, "Oh, I could sing forever of Jesus' love divine." Amen. You know, there are times when you look at the world around us and you consider what's going on and you think to yourself, what is the point? What is the point? Well, the point is that Jesus loved a sinner like me.
Amen.
And Jesus died for the world. That's the point. The point is to tell others about His love. The point is to share Jesus' love with all who come in contact with us. Hebrews chapter number 11. The title of the message tonight is Authentic Faith. Authentic Faith. And we'll get into that in just a minute. We're going to read the first six verses of Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, some of you have been sitting for a while in meetings. Then you come back right in here and you sit for a little bit longer. So let's all stand for the reading of God's Word this evening. Hebrews chapter number 11. I think this is giving me problems. There we go. Sounds better. It might be even this right here. Let's pull it down. There we go. All right, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." That verse in and of itself could preach for years to me. Enoch walked with God and was not. He literally, God took him because he walked so closely with him. Think about that. Verse number 6 is really kind of the context here. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's have a word of prayer. God, thank you for this very special passage of Scripture. God, thank you for the illustrations you gave us of people who had a love for you. God, some of them had no idea where you were leading them, but they followed anyway. Some of them, towards the end of this chapter, Lord, they followed you to death, really. God, some had no idea what your plan was, but they loved you anyway, and they just took the next step. Oh, God, I pray that that be my kind of faith. I pray that this would be our church's faith, a faith that is real, a faith that is authentic, Lord. I pray that you'd help me as I try to deliver this powerful passage of Scripture, Lord. In many ways, Lord, I know it's too big for me, but Lord, it's not too big for you. And God, so I pray that you would speak to hearts tonight. God, I pray that you'd bless the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Authentic faith. If I were to take a Coca-Cola on the left-hand side to you, it's your right, and I were to take a RC Cola, and I'd put them up here, and I'd say, well, you have your pick. You could have RC Cola or Coca-Cola. Many of you, I would assume, would take the RC. Come on! It would be Mr. Nora to take the RC, okay? Many of you would take the Coca-Cola. It's the real thing, okay? That is the motto of Coca-Cola. It's the real deal. It's the real thing. It's, in other words, it's authentic. If I were to go in to a sports store and I would look for an authentic jersey, I can tell you, they're really expensive. Why? Because it's the real thing. You know, there are a lot of people in this world that are looking for the real thing. They're looking for the real deal. They're looking for things that are authentic. I know even when I shop for sports jerseys, I don't really like the sports jerseys that have the name kind of, I don't know what, it's screen printed on. It just feels cheap to me. You know, I'm weird. I'll spend the extra dollar to get the real thing, the real stitching. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have no idea. That's okay. You go back to sleep. That's all right. Don't worry about it. I look for the real thing. Sometimes my wife tells me I have expensive taste because I like the real deal. But I believe that the world is looking for something authentic. They're looking for people that are authentic. They're looking for people who really live what they believe. And I pray that Ocean County Baptist Church would be authentic. As we go into this time where we are about to enter into VBS, Vacation Bible School, I pray that those kids that are 3 years old all the way up till coming out of eighth grade would see the authentic Christianity. Christianity that just isn't put on as a show, but Christianity that's real. And tonight I want to talk about authentic faith. This chapter, I can't get away from it. There's so much right in just this passage, just these six verses. And so I'm going to try to tell you what this chapter says about authentic faith. Number one, I want to take a look at the substance of faith. The substance of faith. This verse alone, verse number one. I was in the bus driving back from Pensacola Christian College, and I was reading through this chapter. I wanted to preach out of Hebrews. Hebrews is my favorite book of the Bible. The depth of Hebrews, the depth that I believe the writer of the book is the Apostle Paul, and I think he goes deeper in this book than he does in all the other books in which he's written. And he gets deep, and he's able to get almost personal with these people. And at this point, now he's getting practical. And verse number one, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Does anyone see a problem with that? Faith is substance. Faith, substance? Wait, what do you mean? Substance we would think of as scientific matter. Things that you could kind of touch, hold, feel, grasp. But faith, you can't hold that. One man said, faith is not substance to man. But before God's throne, it is the only substance that matters. Before God's throne, faith is the only thing that matters to God. And when I look at the substance of faith, when I look at this passage, I think, you know what? We carry such a great faith. Letter A, faith carries the substance of hope. Faith carries the substance of hope. Another man had said, and you have this up on the screen for you, through faith, the future object of Christian hope and its beginning is already present. I'm sorry, the words are kind of small. True faith implies the reality of the objects believed in and hoped for. You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We love to talk about it. We love to get deep into the fact that, you know what? Jesus loved me that much to give his life for me. Sometimes I think we like to talk about it, but does our life prove that we believe in it? When you look at your faith, is your faith carrying hope? Is your faith carrying the very fact that Jesus died for you, but he didn't only die for you, but he is coming again for you? He didn't only die for you, but he died for all of those around you. And because of the fact that there is hope that we will see him again, and let me tell you, we will see him soon. A lot of people, you know, they go back and forth. Are we in the end times? Are we not in the end times? It doesn't matter. You know what? This life, it's but a vapor. Even if we live for 90 years and then die, we're seeing Jesus very soon. Because life goes by like that. And today I want to ask you, are you carrying hope with you? And what I mean is, I'm not asking, are you saved? Because the majority in here are saved. And if you are not, you don't know for sure that heaven is your home someday. I ask you to come see me or Pastor Weiger or anyone else in this room that can show you from God's word just how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But most of us in here tonight, you're the Sunday night crowd. You know for sure that Jesus Christ has saved you. You know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. But do you live like it? Or is it just like another day? Oh man, I'm going through this life. Oh man, I'm just dragging through. Well, if we live with the fact that Jesus Christ is coming for us and he's coming soon, and you know what? When you think about it, he said, hey, look nigh into the harvest. Hey, the harvest is ready, all right? I'm forgetting the verse, sorry, all right? It's just going right out of my mind. But basically, he's saying, listen, I'm coming back. It's time to start telling people. Amen. I'm coming back. It's time to start looking towards me. Amen. Faith carries hope. What kind of hope do you have tonight? Listen, I've looked at the news. Me and my wife, just last night, I thought about this afternoon, and just last night we were talking. You know, you see the protests, and you see the angry mobs, and really for no good reason. Let's be honest. You take a look at all those things, and you think to yourself, where is the hope for America? Well, I can tell you, for the Christian, we have an abundance of hope. Amen. In Jesus Christ. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith carries hope. Right. I love this quote again. Through faith, the future object of Christian hope and its beginning is already present. There's a song that I used to listen to, and it basically said, I'm already living forever. I might as well start right now. I'm already going to heaven. I might as well start living it here on earth.
Amen.
And I believe that should be the Christian's walk on a daily basis.
Right.
I believe that people can see your happiness and your joy through the way that you live. Faith carries the substance of hope, but also faith demonstrates the reality of God. Faith demonstrates the reality of God. In this passage, it says, now that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then it says, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I had to study that out for quite a bit of time. Evidence there, what it means, it's a demonstration. It's a demonstration. So one of the shows that I really like to watch every now and then is Shark Tank. How many of you have seen Shark Tank? I love Shark Tank. Okay. Now, Shark Tank, I'll watch it, and these people are presenting some of these crazy things, okay? Like, some of them are just like, what were you thinking? Like, but some of them really do have great ideas. And I think it's really interesting the difference of a person who can demonstrate well. Now, you get some people that go on there, and they go on the show, and they're presenting their idea before the sharks, okay? And basically, they're presenting these ideas, but they're not presenting it very well. Like, they don't do a good job. And so, you know, the shark's kind of like, I don't know about this. But the people who demonstrate their product well, the sharks are willing and eager to purchase from them. Now, without being, I don't know, sacrilegious here, are you demonstrating faith well? You see, our faith demonstrates who God is to us. Your faith is the demonstration of who you believe in.
Right.
If we were at a science fair, you'd want to demonstrate your product very well. You'd want to get first place. You'd want everyone to see that you put time and effort into this. Well, it's kind of the opposite with us as Christians. You want to demonstrate the time that Jesus Christ put into your life. You want to demonstrate the death that Jesus Christ died for you. You want to demonstrate the hope again that we have in eternal life because of who He is. Demonstrates the reality of who God is. Take a look at verse number 3 here. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. What does your faith demonstrate tonight? I can tell you, Muslims, I know what they believe in. Being honest with you, I know what they believe in because the way they live demonstrates it.
Right.
It's unfortunate that there aren't more Christians that I look at and say, I know what he believes in.
True.
It's unfortunate that we don't have more Christians that live such a strong and clear testimony for Jesus Christ that, you know, you can just, you see Jesus all over them.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, that could be us.
Amen.
That could be you.
That's right.
That could be me.
Amen.
Do people see what your faith is demonstrating? And what is your faith demonstrating? Is it demonstrating a God who cares or a God who's nonchalant about things? Is it demonstrating a God who loves all or is it demonstrating a God that's not very loving? What does your faith demonstrate? So number one, the substance of faith. Faith carries the substance of hope. It's something that we grasp. It's almost like a piece of physical matter to us. Because that's what we believe in. We know it's there for sure.
Amen.
We know it's coming.
That's right.
But faith also demonstrates the reality of God. Now, number two, I want to talk about the show of faith. The show of faith. Let's take a look at some people who showed authentic faith. Let's take a look at verse number two. Verse number two. For by it the elders obtained a good report. In other words, understand that phrase, obtained a good report, in the Greek means that they were testified of. These people, and this kind of just caught my attention. These people were not only testified of by men, but now by the inspiration of God himself. So think about this. These people were, they were almost like living legends, okay? When you talked about Scripture, when you talked about the faith, when you walked up to any Jewish boy, they knew who Abraham, Abel, and Enoch were because they were legends. But it's different when God talks about it. It's different when God starts talking about things. It's different when you see God say, you know what, this is a person who illustrated exactly what I'm satisfied with. So let's take a look at some of the people that God shows us here. Letter A, the illustration of the pure sacrifice. Verse number four. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now, let's think about this. We're New Testament saints, okay? We're not still physically sacrificing, but Romans 12, we know verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And the next words describe that kind of sacrifice. Holy. Holy literally means without blemish, without sin, separated from sin. And then it says acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So Abel presented this offering unto God. He had faith. You know, God, I know it's difficult. It's not the easiest thing for me to do, but God, here's my sacrifice. Well, we as New Testament saints, you know what? It's not easy in the day in which we live to give our life an acceptable sacrifice to God, to say no to sin, to say no to the world, to say no to temptations. But that's what God is pleased with, our faith. That says, God, you know what? I don't care what the world is doing. And I know this is going to cause me trouble. But God, I know that you're pleased with this. And I believe that you are God who is a rewarder of all that come to you. So God, here's my life.
Amen.
Take it. Let it be yours alone. It's a pure sacrifice. Are you living your life in a way that is pure this evening?
Amen.
Because that word after living sacrifice is one of the biggest deals in all of Scripture. Present your body's living sacrifice holy. Holy.
Right.
We like to take holiness out of Christianity anymore. We like to replace it with all love. But there is holiness mentioned in Scripture.
Right.
And Christ was holy.
Amen.
He was without sin. And if we're to be like Christ,
right,
we're to aspire to be without sin.
Amen.
We're to aspire to live our lives putting those things which are behind us behind. Living life that is acceptable unto God. The illustration of a pure sacrifice, but also, letter B, I see the illustration of the committed walk. The committed walk. Verse number 5 here. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he was pleased with God, or that he pleased God. I am always convicted, and I said this before, when I come across the story of Enoch, it's amazing to me. The guy has maybe 5 verses on all of Scripture that mention him. But yet, I think this is the character that impacts my life the most. When you look at Enoch, he literally walks so close with God that God said, you know what, I can't take some more. I'm taking you home. I love you that much. You walk too close with me anyway. Come on. Just come home.
Amen.
Can you think about that? Can you grasp the fact that he walked that closely with God? He walked so closely with God that his next step was heaven. He walked so closely with God that it was almost like there was no change between heaven and earth because it was just, he was walking with
Amen.
God. I'm amazed that I think about this often, and it's a very convicting thought to me. And this is, I want to be careful when I say this, that you understand this is an illustration. I sometimes think, if he did, and he won't ever, but if the Holy Spirit ever left my life, would I know that he was gone? Would I know that he even left? And I know that that can't happen, because he'll never leave me nor forsake me.
Right. Amen.
But I'm often convicted by that thought. If God walked away right now, am I living so close to him that it would leave a hole in my life? Or would it just not make an impact? It just will be another day. The Bible says in 2 Timothy verse number 1, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, "Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelt in us." And what was committed unto us? Well, the book of Jude says the faith. The faith was committed unto us. And Paul says, keep that thing. Hold it fast. Walk with God, Timothy. Walk with God. And church tonight, my only thing is, walk with God.
Amen.
Walk with him.
Right.
Have faith to follow step by step. Wherever God goes, follow. Wherever he leads, just keep walking behind.
Amen.
Sometimes it's a very hard thing to do. As Job understood, and I believe it's chapter number 23 in the book of Job, he basically says, hey, I look to my right hand and I can't see him. And then I look to my left and he's not there. But I know that whatever I'm going through, hey, this is God's way of bringing me forth so that when he's done, I'll be better than gold. You know, in Job's life, he had such a walk with God that when all of these things happened to him, he couldn't blame God. He couldn't. That's just amazing to me. All these things happen and his wife tells him, hey, curse God and die. I mean, can you imagine? But he had that close of a walk with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That close of a walk with God Almighty. The illustration of a committed walk. I'm amazed that Enoch is used in this chapter. He's mentioned only once in Scripture outside of this. But Enoch is used as someone who had authentic faith because he had a committed walk. Ephesians 4 verse 1 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." I always find it interesting that Paul used that phrase, prisoner of the Lord. And I thought about it, and I was studying into this chapter for a series that I did in youth group when I first started here. And I called it the prisoner of the Lord. And basically, prisoners are basically bound by their crime. They're bound by what they did to be in prison. But we are bound by Jesus Christ because of what he did for us. And so I hope that as we are bound to Jesus Christ, as we are, so to speak, the prisoner of the Lord, and we know that he is a gracious God and a merciful God, and he's a loving God. But as Paul uses this phrase, it's almost like he says, you know what? Wherever I go, Jesus Christ's grace follows behind me. Wherever I go, his love follows with me. And it's amazing to me that he then says, beseech you that you walk worthy. Walk worthy. What does it mean to walk worthy? What does it mean to walk worthy of him? Well, it means to be like him, to be with him, to know him. Paul says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. To walk in that power, to walk in who he was and who he is to us today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, that you walk worthy. Let us see also, I see the illustration of the trusting servants. Let's take a look at verse number 7. these people showed their authentic faith. Verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And under Noah, I had put, as far as this is concerned, knowing God's plan and preparing accordingly. You know what? God told him, hey, listen, it's going to rain. The earth's going to be flooded. I want you to prepare. That's it. Just prepare, Noah. Go ahead. I mean, okay. All right, God, sure. Well, and he gave him some instructions. So, God, at this time, it really hadn't rained. God, what is rain? to begin, what is that? Okay. Can you kind of tell me what that, and can you imagine Noah trying to tell other people, I'm building an ark. Building a what? I'm building an ark. What are you building that for? Well, God said, what do you mean God said? But can you imagine, I want you to fast forward now, and I want you to step into the shoes of faith, so to speak. You go to church? Why? You serve the Lord? Seriously? Jesus? Did he even live on this earth? You get some weird questions, okay? Jesus, who's that? Why are you serving him? I want you to think about Noah, how he had God's plan, and he didn't know when God was going to fulfill the plan, but he just went and did accordingly.
Amen.
It's really interesting that when the forecasters call for a snowstorm, the worst place to go is ShopRite. Because people around here like to prepare. I mean, we could be getting 4 inches, but people want their milk, all right? I'm telling you, people like to prepare for that stuff. But we have the promise that Jesus Christ is coming again. In John chapter number 4, verse 35, it says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
Amen.
You believe Jesus Christ is coming again,
Amen.
But do you tell others about him?
Right.
Do you tell others that he's coming? Because he's coming.
Amen.
He's coming. Just like that snowstorm. Hey, it's coming. You better get the shop right, all right? Hey, listen, Jesus Christ is coming. You better tell other people. Hey, if you're saved, it's time to share that love with others. It's time to share that, hey, Jesus died for the world. And he's got grace to offer.
Amen.
The illustration of the trusting servant, number one, was Noah. Number two, Abraham. Now, Abraham's interesting. Verse number 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He had no idea where he was going. God just said, go. Go where? Just go. I'll tell you when to stop. Can you imagine? Can you imagine just, all right, I like to think of things in today's kind of society, right? I get my car, and I'm Abraham, and God says, go. Okay, all right. God, there's this thing called gas, and I've got to get some. Just go. I'll take care of it. All right. You start driving across, and you start making your way, and by now, you're into Kansas, and it's like, is he ever going to stop me? But Abraham just went. There's no complaining. He just went. All right, God, I'll go. How many times has God even just told us to go witness to someone? I don't know. I'm not sure. God, they look pretty fierce. Meanwhile, it's like a 5-year-old girl, Fierce, God, fierce. But Abraham, he didn't know where he was going, but he went. I also would like to see number 3 here, the children of Israel. Let's take a look at verse number 30 in this chapter. Verse number 30, one of the more interesting stories in Scripture. I really find some of the stories in Scripture where the people had no idea where they were going. They were just kind of obeying God. I really find it humorous, okay? Verse number 30 is one of the more humorous ones, okay? Verse number 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Okay. You know the story. I don't have to explain the whole story. But these people are walking around for 7 days around this. And can you imagine the people looking down? Like, what are they doing? They are out of their minds. I mean, some of them probably started chucking things down at them, you know. And still, you know, they're walking around. They keep going. And then the last day, they all line up. And they start screaming. Like, what are these people doing? And then the walls come down. Whoa. God gave them a plan, and it sounded so ridiculous. I mean, can you imagine Joshua? This guy was, I mean, he was a master. He'd be a master general today, okay? He was just awesome, okay? He had fought so many different wars and battles. And you can imagine Joshua getting these plans. So you want us to walk around the wall. How many times? How many days? No, that wasn't Joshua's spirit. He said, you know what? Okay, God. All right. I believe you. And he went. He trusted his God and the walls came down. I wonder if there's some walls in your life right now. Some things, some difficulties. I know that there's people hurting in here. I know a lot of you are hurting. Loss of loved ones. Loved ones lost jobs. Loved ones going through a difficult time. Sickness in the family. Many of you in here, I mean, if you just listen to our choir practice prayer requests after choir practice, I mean, you know people in this church are hurting. But you know, God's got a purpose.
Amen.
And I want to encourage you with that.
That's right.
He's got a reason.
Amen.
And we hate to hear that sometimes. It's like, okay, God's got a purpose here. But he does. And can I encourage you that don't stop walking the seventh day because the walls are just getting ready to fall. Don't stop walking on that last day.
Amen.
And last, as far as this point is concerned, I want to see the illustration of the refused heritage. The illustration of the refused heritage. Let's take a look at verse number 24. Verse number 24. Verse number 24 says, all right, I'm sorry, verse number 23, we'll start there. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. By the way, Egypt, the richest country in the world during this time period, just so you know, everything they had, everything. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying, to do or drown. You know, I bet you that was uncomfortable for Moses. I bet you it was uncomfortable for Moses to go back into Egypt and basically tell Pharaoh, hey, God said, let my people go. I bet you it was uncomfortable. I bet you it wasn't fun for Moses. You know, Christianity, sometimes it's not all fun. It's not all comfort. Sometimes believing God and believing his word and believing his promises are true, sometimes it's not the fun thing.
Right.
And sometimes it's not the comfortable thing.
Right.
But I believe in this world in which we live, many Christians have kind of surrounded themselves in this bubble, and it's called their comfort zone. And they don't like to venture outside of that bubble.
Right.
Go soul winning? What do you mean go soul winning? I can't talk to people as it is. What do you mean go tell someone Jesus Christ? What do you mean? What do you mean share my home with someone? Be hospitable? What do you mean? But God gives us it in his word. And he says, hey, just believe me.
Amen.
Just trust me on this one.
Right.
You know, I'm sure it wasn't comfortable for Moses. You know, I think back throughout the years and even through these men that we're studying and even the women in this chapter that we're studying, I think about Joseph. I'm sure it would have been easy for Joseph just to give in to Potiphar's wife. I'm sure it would have been easy for Moses just to say, you know what, this life in Egypt, it's pretty good. I'm sure it would have been easy for Abraham just to kind of sit still in his house. I'm sure it would have been easy for Sarah just to say, you know what, I'm 90 years old. There's no way, whatever, God, you know, no way. I'm sure it would have been easy for Rahab just to kind of stay there and give the spies away. I'm sure it would have been easy for Joshua to say, you know what, God, I think we'll do it my way. I've done this before, I got this. But what they did was not the easy thing. In fact, it was the uncomfortable thing. But they had faith to refuse to do the comfortable thing. And in fact, it came down to Moses refusing the heritage in Pharaoh's kingdom. He had a right to a place in the kingdom. He had a right to position. But he refused it because he believed God. Because he believed God's promises were better. He believed that God's word was better. In fact, I love this phrase. By faith, he forsook Egypt in verse number 27, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw the invisible. He saw what God wanted when no one else could.
Amen.
Not only do I see Moses here, but I also see Rahab. Verse number 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that had believed not when she had received the spies with peace. You know what? Rahab, she let those spies in and she sent the men in her town a different direction. It could have been easy for her just to say, here they are. Go ahead and take it. I'm sure she would have been promoted in some kind of way if she would have let them know where the spies were. But she believed God. She said, you know what, I'm not really sure of this God in which you serve, but I need to serve him too. Rahab refused her own heritage, refused her own kingdom, really. But she was looking for one that was greater. Now my last point tonight is the significance of faith. So we saw the substance of faith, which carries hope and demonstrates the reality of God. And we saw those who had a show of faith. But tonight I want to end with the significance of faith. And the first thing that I want to see is the satisfaction of God Almighty. The satisfaction of God Almighty. Verse number 6 in this chapter. And we know it well. It says, many of you can quote it. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. I think many of us, many times, you know, we still feel as if we have to earn merit in God's eyes. We still feel, you know what? Here, God, here's my money. This will please you, right? Here's my money. That'll please you. Some of us, you know, we come around maybe church work day and say, boy, it's my time of the year to please God. So we take out the rake. We take out the washcloth and we start cleaning things up. Oh, please God. I did this for God. And we think this is what pleases God. But I'm going to tell you, it's not what we can give. It's not what we can do.
Amen. Right.
It's our faith.
Amen.
It's believing in God. And yes, we give because we believe that he can use this.
Right, right.
And we believe that he can use this for his glory.
Right.
Yes, we rake around here. Yes, we clean the building because we believe that God will bring people in. We believe that God will save them from their sins.
Right.
Yes, we go and we do VBS and we have all those different things, but it's not just so that we can earn merit in God's favor. We do it because God, we believe that God can use us in a very special way. And you know what? It's nothing of ourselves.
Right.
Because you know, if it was just me, I'm just a piece of dirt, okay?
Right.
I'm nothing, but he is everything.
True.
But without faith, it's impossible to please him.
That's right.
The satisfaction of God Almighty. I'm called to Mark chapter number 12, if you want to turn there with me. I'm almost done. Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12, verse number 43. Verse number 43 says, and he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And we understand the story. We know the background. You guys know the story. I don't want to explain it to you. But you see all these people, and they're giving, oh, I gave this much money today. But it's because they had it to give. This widow, she comes and she brings her mite because, you know what? She believed that God could use even just her small amount. You know, it's all she had. She didn't have much. She just had one little piece. And you know what? She had no idea how that one little piece was going to get replenished. She was tight financially. She said, you know what, God? I don't know what I'm going to do. But she gave it anyway. That's faith.
Amen.
Believing that God cares about my small amount. You know, one of the first things to go when money gets tight is our giving. And you know, I just used an illustration saying, you know what, God doesn't just want your giving for to earn merit in his eyes, but I'm going to tell you, God wants to get you to give out of faith. He does. Knowing, you know what, God, I don't have much right now. But God, this is what I do have. God, I can't give a lot, but God, take this. This was going to be my money for whatever it was. God, you have a greater purpose for it.
Amen.
That's the significance of that story.
Amen.
It's not about what she gave, but it's about the faith that she gave with. That's the significance of faith. Even the small amounts measure up to something large in God's eyes. And so the satisfaction of God Almighty brings the reward from God Almighty. The reward from God Almighty. Let's take a look at the end of this verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There are so many people that sacrifice the reward of God for temporary pleasure. There are so many people that sacrifice the eternal for the temporal. I heard that a lot at college. They used to say, men, don't sacrifice the eternal for the temporal. And my freshman year, I'm like, what? And then, you know, it kicks in once you're a senior, right? That's a joke. It kicked in after a few minutes, okay? But they used to say that all the time. Sacrifice the eternal for the temporal. And we have that hope that I already talked about. We have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of seeing the Lord again, or seeing the Lord someday. And you know, we're looking forward to those things. We're looking forward to the rewards that he comes and brings. But don't sacrifice those rewards for temporal physical pleasure. I remember there was a guy that I went to college with, and I can remember being extremely brokenhearted when I found out that he had sacrificed what I just said, the eternal for the temporal. He was my roommate, and he had got involved with some things that just were against the rules at West Coast, and really just really it was a fleshly desire, and it was something that just only lasted couple minutes. And he gave up 4 years of studying. He was a senior. 4 years of studying. He gave up this almost this testimony of, I love this guy. He had this testimony of really going through a lot when he was younger and making it through that, and just God had brought him such a long way. And I love this guy dearly. And I could remember just so brokenhearted, because he decided, you know what, my physical pleasure now means more to me than the eternal reward of heaven, the eternal rewards that I'll have. Obviously, he was saved. He's not going to miss out on heaven, but I believe that, you know, you miss out on some of the things that God has prepared for you. You miss out some of the rewards that God has for you. I truly believe that. But God is a rewarder of them that come to him and believe that he is. They have faith for the eternal. They have faith and hope that it's real to them. It's real that he's coming back. So tonight, authentic faith. We took a look at the substance of faith. We took a look at the faith, the hope that it carries. We took a look at some people that had a show of this authentic faith. But tonight, I sometimes wonder, you know, later on, basically in this chapter, it talks about those and they were unnamed. And then it gets to verse number 38, and I know most of you are putting yourself away right now, but verse number 38, it says, of whom the world was not worthy. There are those who went unnamed in this chapter, and then the phrase was, of whom the world was not worthy. And God says, listen, you know what? You're not even worthy to hear their name. That's the kind of faith they had. That's powerful. But their faith, it's not any different than what we can have today. In fact, we have a greater opportunity than these ever had to have a faith in a God that can do all things. There's more available for us today to show the evidence, the demonstration of our faith than ever was. So tonight, from here forward, will your faith be authentic? Will it be one that people look at and say, you know what? That's not fake. That's real. They're the real deal. I hope that can be said of our church and our church family, Amen. That we have an authentic faith. Let's have a word of prayer.